For those who do not wish to eat genetically modified organisms, the government requires the GMOs to be labeled with a QR code that may be read with smartphones by those smart enough to read them. And so we ask, can we find the GMOs in our food?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1,177th edition of the Food Chain. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Portofino who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What? Folks, the scientific consensus among the cognoscenti is that foods that have been modified by the reengineering of their genes are safe to eat. But an estimated 85% of those who eat food do not believe the safety of those genetically modified organisms or GMOs, and they wanted them to be labeled. So 3 years ago, the federal government passed a law requiring the GMOs to be identified as bioengineered and to be labeled as such with a symbol of sorts or a QR code that may be read with smartphones by those smart enough to read them, which is not me. But there they are. And today, an estimated 75% of the foods in the supermarket shelves are made with ingredients derived from crops that have been genetically modified. And according to the government regulations that I've seen, items that contain highly refined ingredients do not have to be labeled as bioengineered. Additionally, to require a label, a food product needs to have at least 5% bioengineered material, which is a higher concentration than most other countries that have GMO labeling laws. All these new government labeling regulations that some say are designed to help us see what's in our food, but which others say is designed to hide what's in our food, will soon be put into effect on our food. And that leads us to ask, will we be able to find the GMOs in our food? Who better to ask than Emily Moose, who's the Director of Communications at A Greener World. Emily, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for all of your work to help inform people about food and really connect people back to the source of their food.
Well, thank you very much. You know, it's easy to forget that we are, you know, that connected to our food when we live in the city and don't think about it much. You know, we go to the grocery store, we buy food, and we go to the restaurant and we get fed, and it's easy to lose touch. And so it's kind of fun to bring that connection back. And I guess you would know, being a North Carolina farm girl, about that connection.
I don't know if I can claim to be a farm girl. I have worked on farms. I do have agriculture in my family, and I have a deep love for agriculture and farming.
And you have a degree in agriculture too, don't you?
Yeah, I actually took a professional development program in agriculture, and I've definitely studied agriculture over the course of my career, and have a lot of friends who are farmers as well, and work with some of the best farmers in the country.
Well, good. I have a Michael Olson's second law of the food chain. I'd like you to comment on it. And the second law goes something like this. The farther we go from the source of our food, the less control we have over what's in that food. Now, how would that second law of the food chain relate to a greener world?
That's a really interesting law. And that is one of the kind of inspirations about why we exist as a labeling organization. So you're right. We are further removed from the farm as a population than we have been at any point in history in the U.S.
And probably the history of mankind, when it gets right down to it, you know.
And people are hungry for information about their food. I think with that disconnect, you see an increased interest in reviving that connection. And so one of the ways that we are helping to make that connection is to offer food labels that mean what they say and that give consumers real information about their food.
So that's what A Greener World does. That's how you earn your way in the world, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And so we are a nonprofit. So we also earn our way, so to speak, through donations from people. So we don't, the certification is not a pay-to-play or, you know, profit-motivated, you know, enterprise. We are a nonprofit, and our mission is to increase transparency in the food system.
Good. How long have you been around?
So we started in 2014, and our the reason we exist is to identify, audit, certify, and promote practical, sustainable farming systems. And we do that by supporting farmers and ranchers and informing consumers.
Good. So you're kind of there to point the finger at those who are doing good and those mm-hmm. who are doing bad.
Well, yeah, we're more of a carrot than a stick in the food system. And what we, our approach really is farms come to us. It's a voluntary program. And a farmer would come to us and say, hey, you know, I believe I follow your standards. I want you to come out and check my farm out, make sure I meet those standards, and then let me use this label on my products. And
good.
So, yeah.
So there are other organizations like you in the United States and throughout the world as well. I think California Certified Organic Farmers being one, Oregon Health being another. Are you similar to those organizations?
In that we are a third-party certifier, yes. And so it's a really, really good system for consumers to get reliable information about their food. It's to actually, you know, because most of the claims in the marketplace are not audited or verified in any way. And it's really, you know, it's kind of the Wild West in terms of food labels. And so what we do is we actually do visit the farm to ensure that those claims are true. And one place that we are unique in the certification space is that we are actually accredited by ISO, which is kind of like the certifier's certifier. And so we get audited every year, and we get checked out that we are actually being consistent and rigorous and transparent and fair in our auditing and certification. So well, farmers can have confidence in us as well as consumers.
Well, good. Well, not only do you label or certify non-GMO, which is what we're here to talk about today, but you also certify animal welfare approved, you certify grass-fed, and you certify organic. So those are areas of interest that consumers have with respect to the efficacy of their food, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and just a minor point on that, we plan to be offering organic certification soon. Our application was on hold with the recent shutdown, but we hope that process is revived soon, and we hope to be offering that in the very near future. But we do also have the certified animal welfare approved by A Greener World, and that's actually the only birth through slaughter pasture-based welfare label. So that it was rated by Consumer Reports as the only highly meaningful food label for outdoor access, animal welfare, and sustainability. And then our grass-fed label it's actually an optional additional accreditation to AWA, the Animal Welfare Approved label. And so it's kind of like a cherry on top of mm-hmm. Animal Welfare Approved. So it's the only grass-fed welfare label.
Okay, and which is significant for those of us who happen to eat meat, the grass-fed notion being that animals that were, you know, bred, I guess, by nature and by people to eat grass are now eating grain, and we're wondering about the efficacy of that. And so we look for people who are actually growing animals on grass and look for that kind of thing. So this is something that we can all watch out for. So what's good to me is that there's going to be, sounds like, some good competition in the certifier marketplace. True?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely an increasing demand for third-party certification, so I fully expect that to grow. And it has grown. It's a relatively young industry here that is gaining traction. In other parts of the world, it is established, and there's much more precedent for consumers expecting to see a certifier behind label claims. Because how else do you really know whether you can trust it?
Sure. How do we know? Unless somebody's there watching. And as we've grown very, very far from the source of our food, we really don't know. So I'd like to pick up the whole notion of GMOs. It seems like scientists say, yes, they're safe to eat, no doubt about it. 85% of us who eat food say, not so certain. I just want, don't know myself, but I just want it to be labeled so that I can make my own choice in this whole thing. And so, and then the other thing that's really fits in here is that 75% of the food on the grocer's shelves are made with GMO ingredients. So there's a huge issue here, and that's what we're going to be tackling today. Is there going to be a way that we can tell if there are or are not GMOs in our food? That's the question we're asking with Emily Moose, who is the Director of Communications for A Greener World. And you can always participate with us at the food chain page at metrofarm.com. When we come back, we're going to dig into what happened when the government passed a law that said there has to be labeling of GMOs. This is The Food Chain, Michael Olson, Emily Moose, and you right back. Hey, that's me, and we are back. This is The Food Chain, Michael Olson with Emily Moose, talking about genetically modified foods. Really, the genetically modified foods that are hiding in our foods. How do we know if they're there? Government passed a law 3 years ago, signed by President Obama. Those regulations are going to be coming into effect very soon. Is that true, Emily?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting to look at kind of the context behind that law, too. There was a law passed previously in Vermont that was going to require labeling of GMOs. And so companies were getting ready to, you know, prepare for that change in the market and to start, you know, labeling foods. And what ended up happening was that there was a very concerted industry effort to...
Kind of like a big panic, right?
Well, what ended up happening was that there was a much more industry-friendly law that was passed at the federal level that ended up invalidating or nullifying the Vermont law. And so the Vermont law was actually a lot more meaningful from a consumer perspective. And what we got out of the federal law was not rigorous at all, to put it generously.
What exactly did it say? It seems like the federal law said something like, you must label GMOs, but you can do it in secret.
I think a lot of people would agree with you on that. It does not inform consumers in a meaningful way. So the way that the current regulation is that you, first of all, it is all based around the term bioengineered, which is not a recognizable term for most consumers. The market thus far had really been talking about non-GMO or GMOs or genetically modified or genetically engineered. And so this is a new word for folks. It also exempts refined ingredients, and you mentioned this earlier, and products with undetectable GMO content, even if they do come from GMOs. So, you know, that is not in keeping with most consumers' expectations.
Well,
go ahead.
I was just thinking, politics seems to me like it's a war of words. The consumers looked at what was going on and they said, these things are genetically modified organisms and we don't like that idea. Mm-hmm. And so the industry said, well, we'll just change the name.
Right.
We'll call it
right.
Bioengineered. And, of course, everything is really bioengineered. So it seems like politics is always a game of who can label what the quickest and hold on to that label. And so what the federal government did was accede to the industry's demands and change the name of genetically modified organisms to bioengineered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're supposed to feel more comfortable with bioengineered as opposed to genetically modified organisms, I guess.
Apparently so. But thankfully, you still do have options as a consumer if you want to avoid GMOs, you have options to do that, but you need to look for a credible third-party certification.
So, okay, let's talk about how genetically modified organisms get into 75% of the food on the grocer's shelves. It seems like extraordinarily amount of you know, contamination, if you would want to use that word. How did that happen? How did so much GMOs get into so much food on our grocery shelves?
So the U.S., the amount of GM crops planted in the U.S. has dramatically increased. And it's interesting to note that in other countries which have banned this new technology, the yield trajectory is very similar. And so it's interesting the disparities in the markets, but there still is a much of our food supply does have this technology. In terms of how to...
Well, let me back up for just a minute here. What you're telling us is that our farmers adopted this GMO technology because it promised them greater yields. They'd make more money. But what you're saying is that the yield curve isn't much different between this technology of genetically modified organisms and elsewhere where it's against the law.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and so, you know, from a farmer perspective, like, and this is not to denigrate farmers for choosing to do this. I think it does come down to a market question. If nobody is demanding non-GMO crops and non-GMO foods, then, you know, that you don't have that incentive to plant those crops. And so at the end of the day, farmers have limited agency in what they can do. They have to make money from what they're doing. And so I think our job as consumers is if this is a, you know, an issue we care about, if this is something that, that we're looking at and say, okay, this is something we need to take a little bit more time with, and really evaluate the long-term impacts of this. Because you know, you mentioned that there is, you know, it's widely reported that there are no safety concerns, but this is an ongoing experiment, and there also has not been proven long-term health and safety either.
Well, I say that consensus.
Yeah, and I do think, yeah, I mean, and we are a science-based program, so, you know, we listen to scientists, and I think that it's an important conversation to have, and it's an important ongoing conversation to have. But I think safety aside, you know, personal immediate safety aside, there are some valid concerns about this technology in terms of farmer sovereignty, in terms of environmental impacts, ecosystem impacts, and just consumers' right to decide what you put in your body.
And significant disagreement among the scientific community as well, when it gets right down to it.
Mm-hmm.
Emily, when I look at a package on a grocer's shelves, and I see all of these ingredients, but none of them are yet marked GMOs or bioengineered. That's coming soon, I understand. But when I see something that says soy, I know that product contains GMO. Am I wrong?
Unless there is a certification telling you otherwise, it's very likely. Most of our soy grown in the U.S. is genetically modified.
Anything that soy goes into has GMOs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another aspect of it that I think people are starting to talk about more and more is crops that are engineered to tolerate herbicide use, like Roundup. There are some very compelling health concerns about the impact of Roundup and you know, their glyphosate-containing products on human health. And so even if it's not the actual seed itself, there are associated technologies and chemicals with that seed that you might be wise to be concerned about.
And it's everywhere, pretty much. 75%. Does that number ring true to you? 75% of the food on the grocery shelves?
That's a figure. I'd need to look and confirm that, but it definitely is widespread, and unless you see a certification that's telling you otherwise, and let me be clear, you know, this is not every crop is genetically modified. There are very select ones,
right,
which are
and it's usually those crops that are the foundation of the food chain, of the you know, the modern food chain. It's the corn and the soy, and maybe even wheat coming up. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson. Today we're talking about GMOs in the food. Will we be able to find them given the new federal laws that make it mandatory that they be labeled? What will those labels say? Will they make it easy for us to find the GMOs, or will we be left in the dark? What do you think? We will be right back.
Let's go back for more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
With Michael Olson and Emily Moose from A Greener America. And let's see, it's A Greener World and A Greener...
You got it.
Greener everything.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, why don't we trust what's in the food anymore? Why do 85% of us look at the question of GMOs and just say, I want to know?
I think historically speaking, this is a very new technology, and it is not something that can happen in nature by any other breeding method that we've used thus far. So this is, it's a new experiment. And people are right to be cautious when thinking about what do we put in our bodies, what do we release to our ecosystems, and what impacts might that have, long-term and short-term.
Why do producers have to prove the negative? It seems kind of silly, don't you think?
It's
almost like farmers have to prove they're innocent in the case of GMOs.
That's a really good question, and they, it is different in other parts of the world. I think we, for whatever reason, maybe it's the amount of influence that companies have on policy. It is that system here, and consumers have to look really hard and do a lot of homework to find non-GMO foods. It is worth mentioning that there's a growing handful of foods that are genetically modified. And so as advocates of labeling transparency and not cluttering up the labeling landscape, we really try to not over-label. You know, like you see some products that are labeled non-GMO that are not modified in the first place, right?
Could see Jell-O with no gluten in it or something like that.
Exactly. That that doesn't help anybody out. It just adds words without adding meaning. So we don't do that.
Okay. Well, your job then as a certifier is to prove the negative.
Mm-hmm. Negative and positive. So certified animal welfare approved by Greener World is a positive attribute. Certified grass fed is a...
Well, wait, but it's proving that... Yeah. Do you actually prove that they eat grass if it's certified? I guess is a positive then.
We do. Yeah.
Okay. So then let's go to the proving the negative. You're proving the fact that there are no GMOs in the food or no pesticides being used in the case of certified organic, right? So to do that, how do you do that? How do you prove a negative?
You test. And that is a really important component of certified non-GMO by a Greener World.
Are you testing?
We are, yeah. So you can actually test, the feed to see if there is GMO material in it. And we actually have a stricter requirement around what we'll permit in terms of GMO material than any other certifier in the U.S. And it's important because that is becoming a slippery slope. Other non-GMO labels are starting to allow more GMO material in animal feed, and even considering allowing it intentionally, which we feel really doesn't stack up to consumer expectations.
Well, that seems to be the nature. You know, you establish rules, and people look at the rules and say, well, if I can just move the rules a little bit, I can get in on the money too. A good example of that is the conflict in the world of organics between those who grow their crops in soil and those who grow their crops in water. And just because they don't use pesticides, they say, well, my crops growing in water have to be organic. And it really changes the nature of the certification, does it not?
It does. And it really goes against the original spirit of organics.
And so the same is true then, the same, you know, pushing the boundaries is being, we're seeing that in the GMO world as well then. If I just have a little GMOs, it's going to be okay.
Right, right, absolutely. And I think that is a it's a really good reminder to folks to really know your labels and stay on it. You know, like I want everyone to care about food labels, you know, as like esoteric and like heady as that can sound, they really are our best chance at making systemic change in our food system.
Well, to me, the best chance is to look into the farmer's eyes and, you know, seeing what's in the food. That's the best. Mm. But as Michael Olson's second law of the food chain goes, the farther you go from the farmer and the source of your food, the less control you have. So you have to have somebody there. I always thought that if I'm buying, you know, rutabagas from Farmer Joe across the street, I'm pretty safe at just buying the rutabagas for him. And he, if he says, by golly, they're grass-fed rutabagas, then I can pretty much take his word for that. But if I'm buying rutabagas from somebody in China, and they say it's grass-fed rutabagas, if you pardon the pun there, but if they say that, you know, they're not using chemicals or it's not GMO, you just got to wonder. How do you know? And then how do you know if the certifier of that farmer in China is actually telling the truth or he's just taking money under the table? So that takes us back to the certifier of certifiers, which is?
Right. ISO, the International Standards Organization. And yes, we are very proud to be accredited to that. It's unique in the space, and it lets it lets farmers know, it lets consumers know that we do what we say we do, and that we are being monitored as well, and proven to be consistent.
So you're actually telling the truth because these people are watching over you. What do they do? How do they keep track of you?
So we do annual audit with them, and they go deeply into our records. They actually go along with us on farm audits. They look at our historical records about how we're administering our certification program. And again, this is an international organization, so it does to your question about. Can you trust things certified in another country? This would apply everywhere. And we do actually work in the United Kingdom and in South Africa as well.
You do? Your organization does? A Greener World?
Yep.
Okay. So there you go. The certifiers then are kind of just like you. And they walk into the farm with you and they watch what you're doing.
Yes, same principle. And I think it's worth talking about on the local question.
Sure. Go ahead.
It is irreplaceable to be able to know farmers and to meet farmers and to, have that connection. But we have seen on the ground cases of fraud even at the farmers market level.
Well, in that case, that's what I'd like to hear about next. Folks, this is the Food Chain, Michael Olson, and we're talking certified everything with Emily Moose, Director of Communications, Greener World. And you, right back.
And now, more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, I got to wondering about the idea of fraud and how you detect it and what kind of fraud you see out there in the world. It would probably, behoove somebody to be able, if they can cheat and skate by, they can make more money with less effort. And human beings, what human beings are, must happen someplace along the line. What do you see? How do you find it, Emily?
So a lot of times what we hear from farmers who apply to our program is them telling us, the reason I want to get certified with you is because I am seeing other people at my farmer's market, in my market in general, making claims that are not true. And this is a way for me to distinguish myself in that market. So, you know, whether it's something as, severe as a farmer buying conventional chickens and then passing them off as their own pasture-raised birds, or it's something where the farmer just may not know the meaning of the claim that they're using, but then learn that they're using it incorrectly. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's a way to add transparency to a market at any level. And consumers, as much as it is awesome and amazing and vital to get out to farms and meet farmers, it is not realistic for everyone everywhere to do that. You know, if you're a working single mom in, you know, the middle of Baltimore, it's going to be difficult for you to go out and visit every single farm that your food comes from.
Absolutely. Very, very difficult. So you need help. But you also need help, but you also need some knowledge, too. You need to be able to look at that package of processed food, and when you see the word soy on it, you have to know that almost all of the soy in the United States of America has been genetically engineered to withstand glyphosate.
Mm-hmm.
So if you buy that food, chances are pretty good you're going to be consuming some glyphosate.
Right. And that, yeah, something so, we're still learning about the very possible. Actually, a court case just found that Roundup, glyphosate is the active ingredient Roundup, was a contributor to cancer in a recent landmark lawsuit. And so we are learning some pretty concerning information about that.
Well, you know, and what you hear now are attorneys advertising for people who used glyphosate so that we could sue, you know. So
right.
That's a good cause for concern right there. So a little bit of consumer knowledge, you know, learning what's in your food and how it's produced. And it doesn't take long to learn these things, but you have to, you know, kind of sit down in your house in Baltimore there, close your eyes and you know, take yourself to where they're growing food, you know, just fly up there to the Dakotas or something and imagine how they're growing. Imagine how one farmer is now able to grow thousands of acres of crops without having any weeds or any bugs. And if you imagine how the farmer's doing that, you then have to be a little bit concerned about what's in your food. And that's when you start really paying attention to what's going on with your food. And looking for help from people like you, right?
Right. And on the weeds, you might actually see more weeds than you anticipated because a lot of weeds are becoming resistant to glyphosate. You know, as you can imagine, nature finds a way. And when you, you know, spray something consistently with a chemical, there's going to be a few that survive, and those will survive and thrive.
Well, let's talk now about how we're going to be able to know where the GMOs are in our food. What are the new federal rules going to tell us?
So not a whole lot, unfortunately. There is a requirement to label, but it has a number of exceptions. You know, we talked about the exemption for refined ingredients. It also exempts foods that are produced with gene editing techniques like CRISPR.
Oh, wait a minute. That's very interesting. That means that you can use the CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing tool to go in and change the nature, the genetic nature of something. And since you're not changing everything, you're not adding the genes of another species, you're just editing out genes that are there. And what they're saying is that, no different, substantially equivalent, right?
Pretty much, yeah. So, again, not in keeping with most consumers' expectations around the GM labeling law.
So, what will the new labels tell us?
You might get a little QR code that you may or may not decide to scan if you happen to have a smartphone on you.
And are smart enough to use it, which I'm not.
Right. Me neither. Yeah.
So the QR code, what the government is making possible, okay, producers, here's what you have to have. You have to have a QR code that people can scan, and that will take them to wherever there is a knowledge base, and that will teach them whether or not that you do have GMOs in the food, right?
You presumably, yes. But, you know, this isn't, we haven't seen a lot of these to know whether what that information is going to be like.
And when does this law take effect?
Let's see. It starts in 20. The implementation is January 1st, 2020.
2020. So first of next year, a few months. A few months. And a few months we'll know probably about the same we know now, which is not very much, because this law apparently is designed not really to help us figure things out, but maybe just to mollify our demand for labeling. So we have the labeling, but Lordy knows whether we'll be able to read it or not, and that remains to be seen. This is The Food Chain. We've got a few more minutes. When we come back, I want to ask about what we can do.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
And Emily Moose, who is the Director of Communications at A Greener World. How greener is it going to be, the world, do you think, Emily?
I think it depends on us.
It depends on us, doesn't it? And one of the ways that we can make a greener world is by directing with our pocketbook. We take our money and we go out into the marketplace and say, I want this and I don't want that. But to do that, we have to be informed as to what we do want. And we have to know where to find that. And what you folks do at Greener World, as do other certifiers around the world, is that you're keeping track for us. Is that true?
We are, yeah. So we audit every farm that we certify. And so if you're looking for reliable information about your food, if you want to know that the food that you're eating is non-GMO, go to agreenerworld.org, and we have a online directory, and you can punch in your zip code, your state, and or what type of product you're looking for, and you can find certified non-GMO products, certified animal welfare approved by Greener World, and certified grass-fed.
And if you're a farmer and you want to hold up your products, I mean, perhaps you're making something, you want to sell it in Chicago or something, at a distant market, and you want to have that label, what do you need to do?
We would love to work with you, and all you need to do is go to the website, read the standards, get in touch with us. We have outreach coordinators all over the country that would be glad to talk with you about the certification process. It's a really straightforward process, and we do a lot to support farmers in the program with technical and marketing support.
Is it easier than Brand X certifiers?
Absolutely. That's what we hear from our farmers anyway.
Okay. Well, it's probably a pretty big deal because of those, you know, those farmers who participate in, you know, markets distant from their own have to come to grips with having some way of distinguishing themselves from the mass market products. If you're a small farmer, got to have something. And it's whether it's certified organic or certified non-GMO or whatever it is, you have to have some way of distinguishing yourself. And that's what the folks at A Greener World do. You're also a nonprofit, which means you take donations. Where do we do that?
At greenerworld.org, there is a big donate button, and we would be grateful for your support.
Good. Well, Emily Moose, being a very well-educated person, what can we do, and when we walk into the supermarket, to make good choices?
Learn about food labels. We have a really good resource on our website called Food Labels Exposed, and it goes through all the common claims and terms you'll find on food, and it'll help you make sure that you're not wasting your money. You know, if you're going to pay any cent above, you know, baseline price, make sure you're using that wisely and that you're getting what you pay for.
So, and learn how to read labels. Learn how to look at the labels on the packages too, and think beyond what they say. You know, if it says soy, how do they make soy? How do they grow soy these days? How do they grow wheat? And so on and so on. These are the foundation of our food chain. They are the things that we eat whenever we go to the store. 75% of the stuff in there comes from products that have been genetically modified. Are they good or are they not? Emily Moose, thank you so much for joining us. With what fun. And best wishes to you folks at A Greener World. So we can all use a greener world. Can't deny that. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much. You too. Take care.
You bet.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.